Okay, Sunday night, Chodesh Haldodos. We're in the 21st shiur in Perek Dalid, the 9th shiur of this winter, Tavshin Samach Tes, Leilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Rav Nosson, and we're going to start the Chelek HaChamishi. That's the paragraph we're starting. Chodesh Haldodos in Perek Dalid goes through practical applications of Bitachon in various situations. Number one was basic sustenance, basic life. Number two was wealth, having more than you need. Number three was relationships, all different types of relationships, and not having relationships, being lonely, being alone, having relationships, friends, enemies, people you have power over, people who have power over you, everything, the whole gamut of relationships. Number four was mitzvahs. Number five, and there's going to be seven. There's seven areas that he said he's going to teach us practical bitachon in. Number five is very, very fascinating because it's really, if we were making a list, we would say it's 4B. Yeah. Because number four was mitzvahs that you don't have other people involved in those mitzvahs. All the shehovos halavavos. Abbas Hashem, Miras Hashem, davening, and then there's things like davening and sitting in a sukkah, he said, mezuzah, you're not interrelating with other people. So, what did he say in number four? He talked about the three parts of any actions of a person, level one, level two, level three, the decision, the planning, this is how we understood the Chodesh Haldodos, the decision, the planning, and the doing. The decision and the planning, there's no bitachon in. Hashem dumped that totally on us. The third area, he started off saying that's up to Hashem if you'll accomplish, but then he ended up pointing out that, well, just like everything else, you have to do your best. You have to try. That's where you have to do the actions. You have to go through the motions you have to do, and you have to daven. That's what he said. And then it's up to Hashem if you'll actually fulfill the mitzvah, if it'll happen. You'll get your schar for the first two. And we explained at great length, that's where a person's growth really is. The growth, the steiging and the growth of a person is in number one and number two, where you make your decision and you plan, and we explained the planning is a kind of acute stage. It's really just, I think it's just actualizing number one, because it's very easy to choose to do good, and then you don't plan, so it doesn't happen. So okay, so that's number one and number two. You get schar. You didn't waste your time. It's not just an A for effort. Not only do you get schar, but I would hasten to add that even when you accomplish the main schar, even though he says you get schar for the accomplishment, you get your schar for having effected the mitzvah, whatever, you sat in the sukkah, you put up the mezuzah, you took challah, right? So that you get more schar for actually having done it, but I would not hesitate to say that the personal growth of a person is not in the accomplishment, which makes sense because it's really up to Hashem, right? The dough could fall on the floor, all the things that can go wrong. So you have to ask Hashem, right? But personal growth is always the first two areas. And he said, but certainly, although he started off the paragraph about the fourth item, mitzvahs, saying third thing's up to Hashem, but he ended up saying, well, of course you have to do your best, you have to do your hishtadlus, we call it, you have to go through the motions, you have to do, you have to try, you have to do your utmost that it should happen, you can't be lazy about it, yeah. And then he threw in, you have to daven, and then he ended up saying, what are you davening for? It's up to Hashem, have bitachon, that it'll happen. So he says, you're davening for two things. Because there's a lot of, pardon the expression, there's a lot of garbage out there, a lot of distractions out there, a lot of yetzer hara out there. He says distractions. and a lot of distractions. So that's okay to daven to Hashem that nothing should distract you, nothing should pull you away from you, from your bechira. And number two is your davening to Hashem that it should happen, that you want that zchus to be the vehicle through which the good thing really comes to fruition. The challah is taken, you're sitting in a sukkah, I would say you've been mavakar the cholah, but that's really going to be in chelek hamishi. But just to round out the example, what we're talking about, you've been mavakar the cholah, the person didn't check out before you got there. That's that you need, and then you thank Hashem, you know, that you had the schus to actually be the vehicle through which the good deed was accomplished. But again, you get schar anyway, even if it wasn't. And it's not always, you know, a person could say, well, Hashem's mad at me, Hashem didn't want me to be the vehicle that of the mitzvah. That's not always the case. Hashem has many, we talked about it in terms of children especially, right? Hashem has always cheshbonos involved, we don't know, and sometimes it just doesn't happen, but that's what you're davening. You're davening should be no distractions, and you're davening that indeed our efforts should culminate in good things. So you say, well, what's number five? The fifth thing is also mitzvahs, but it's mitzvahs where we relate we relate to other people. Other people are involved. You say, why should it be different? It's still a mitzvah, and all these things apply. And that's all true. What he does in number five, this is fascinating, and he makes it a separate category, obviously because he thinks it's so important, because it's, as I say, it's really 4B. You know, it's mitzvahs, and certainly everything we learned in number four applies to number five also. But in number five, which are mitzvahs in which other people are involved. And he gives a list of things. We'll start learning it one of these minutes, and we'll see. And he introduces two new ideas about bitachon versus hishtadlus, which come into play when we're talking about mitzvahs that have to do with other people. So again, everything in number four applies to number five, plus. And he makes it a new category. Avobir Achela Kachamishi, explaining the fifth area of practical application of bitachon, v'hu chovas ha'evarim, because all chovas ha'evarim doesn't involve other people. And some chovas ha'evarim doesn't, like mezuzah, sukkah, fasting, he said. But now we're talking about chovas ha'evarim, asher to'alton, their accomplishment, the nizgon, and their lack of accomplishment, the damage they cause by not doing them, or by doing something you're not supposed to do. Over min ha'odom luzulaso connects two people, connects a person with his fellow man, kagon, and he gives a list of examples. Hatstaka, giving staka. Right? You can't give staka if there's no recipient. So it doesn't go, right? Vahamatanos. He said matanos. I think you have a different word. What word do you have?
Meister.
Okay, so matanos, meisters, tithing, okay. Tafotzos hachochmo, teaching Torah. Tatzivui lehetiv, giving people tochocha, or telling them, guiding them in their lives. It's not necessarily tochocha, guiding people. Azhora lara, teaching people about what's right and what's wrong. Tachzoras hapigdonos, repaying loans, it's a mitzvah. Giving back things that people kept by you, paying money you owe, it's a mitzvah. Uchemisos hasodos, keeping secrets. Tahadibur hanot, talking in an edel way, talking, knowing how to talk to people. Tahasiyos hachesed, kibud hahorim. Tachzoras hatoim al Hashem, being the care of people. Umatan Eitzah Hogenes, Livnei Odom Laderech Hachsharosom, giving good advice to people who ask you. All these are mitzvahs, and they, out of necessity, by definition, they include other people. You need someone else. Tahachanina al Chalusheim, having Rachmonos on the weak segments of society. Parachmonos Aleihem, you know, showing favor to them, having rachmonos on them, which is a mitzvah. I said this last week. Ben Odom Lachaveiro is really is Hashem's telling us that we should care about our fellow man. Otherwise, it wouldn't constitute a separate category of mitzvahs. It would just be a lulav with a human face, with a human heart. But it's just a lulav. Hashem doesn't tell you, hug a lulav today. Shake the lulav. You're not hugging the lulav, right? So if the Torah tells you to care about your fellow man, it's not when you're crossing the old lady around across the street. You're not shaking a lulav. It's not especially deep, but it's so important. You're not shaking a lulav. The Torah wants you to care about her. The Torah wants you to care about a person. So it's coming from Hashem. It's not human emotions. It's Hashem. But it's Ben Odom HaChaveiro, because Ben Odom HaMokom means Hashem wants you to care about him and doing his tzibui, and that's all you have to care about. And Ben Odom HaChaveiro introduces caring about your fellow man. So that's what he says here. For Achmonos Aleihem, it's a mitzvah. That's really the point of all Ben Odom HaChaveiro, caring. Usvilos Eivos, and listen to what he his list of mitzvahs. He says, you know, you're going to get it from them. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to talk Lashon Hara about you. People are going to get angry at you. People are going to have tainus on you. It's all part of the game of life. And it's a mitzvah to just grin and bear it. And don't answer back and do what you got to do. You know, and be menana lovim, beina molvim, shomim cheposim, beina meshivim. He's just making a list of mitzvahs that by necessity involve other people. Usvilas Eivosam, being sovel their enmity, their tainus, their complaints, their resentments, Be'esha Tomi'irum, and L'mashmas Hashem, especially, you know, you're trying to wake them up, you're trying to get them to be better people, and they talk Lashon Hara, and they fight with you, and they, well, look at Moshe Rabbeinu, look what he had to put up with, right? Nobody had to put up with, to the degree that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu, so Od Ma'atus Koluni, right? They were ready to just throw him out. Ule Shadlom, Ule Yoram, and you have to give people Musar, you have to entice them to do mitzvahs, and scare them. Bahaftochos with schar v'onesh, will be you with them, schar v'onesh. We are told today to stay away from the onesh. I don't know if that's such a good idea. That's a discussion for a different day and night. But now, if a Rebbe would scare a kid with Gehenim, he'd be fired. He'd be told that that's not the way of being mechanech children, by scaring them with Gehenna. And there's some truth to it, and maybe nowadays, just like we don't hit kids anymore, so we don't scare them anymore, but Chavis HaLovas considered it perfectly normal to scare people, you know, to entice them, to be mefata them. L'shadlon means to be mekarev them through pitui, tell them how wonderful it is to do mitzvahs and to live Torah and to do what's right, and to scare them if they do what's wrong. Again, that's a discussion for another venue. So he gave this whole list here. So like, everybody should be at the edge of their seats now. How is this going to be different than area 4? I mean, it's mitzvahs, it's the same thing. You plan, you choose, you plan, and it's up to Hashem if it comes to fruition. Like, oh, okay, everybody is, I built it up, so what's bitachon here? Who livtoach al Hashem yisala b'chozeh, and that bitachon, that you'll be successful in all of this. V'shiyya Odom Yozem, and that the person plans, chooses, obviously, and plans, Asiyas Kalamasa Malolu, what to do and how to do it, and the best way to do it, the Domehem, the Yivchar Asiyasan, quite obviously, if he's planning, he has chosen to do it, the Yishtadal Bohem Kfi Yecholto, and he does his best, right, that's part of it, you have to be, actually, Yishtadal, you have to do your best, Hashem will, right, you can't be lazy, you have to do your best, and then have bitachon that Hashem will have it come to fruition. Kamo shekodem lono b'chelek ravi. He says, everything so far is the same as chelek ravi. Al chovos ha-bechira oleinu, v'shehi mutelos oleinu. Oh, but here, there's now a new element. What's the new element? Because you're dealing with other people. And once you're dealing with other people, the easiest thing in the world is to have other motives other than serving Hashem. You're dealing with other people. They're going to like you. They're going to dislike you. You're going to get honor. People are going to respect you. You're in a power play. You help someone, they're beholden to you. All of a sudden, when you're dealing with other people, the Cholos Halavos recognizes it's like a whole, in a certain way, it's a whole new ball game. It's not a whole new ball game because all the things in number four apply to number five. But all of a sudden, we have a bunch of other things to worry about. And when we talk about that, you have to do your best before you can just throw it on Hashem. And this is what he says here. It's a shortish paragraph, but he says tremendously important yesodos. Because, right, where are we coming from? You have to do your best before you dump it on Hashem. And when you're dealing with mitzvahs that have to do with other people, so all of a sudden your best has two more dimensions that the area number four didn't have. One dimension is, as we said, your motivation. You have to work on your motivation. You're not doing your best if your motivation and unfortunately, the human condition is that it's so true. We can have so many reasons for doing what we're doing. We want to get on the person's good side. We want to show one-upsmanship that we're better than them. We're scared what they'll do to us if we don't do this. We need a favor from them, so we have to do a favor for them now because one day we'll need them. All of these things that are everyday occurrences, for better or for worse, usually for worse, she says, with like so many agendas, so many motives that you can all of a sudden have. So part of your chiyuv hishtadlus is to purify your motives. The truth is that he spends an entire sha'ar talking about purity of motives in life, in general, and that's called Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa. That comes after Sha'ar HaBitachon. Comes Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa. To be focused on the singular motive that should motivate us, which is to do Hashem's will. But here he's saying, so really that could come, that theoretically it could come into play with any mitzvah. Because I could daven in the morning, which doesn't involve another person, and the reason is because I'm embarrassed. My neighbor is gonna look into my window and see if I'm davening. But the pashtus is not the case. So here he says, when you're dealing with other people, maybe you're in a power play. You want them to be beholden to you. You need a favor from them. You want honor. You want kavod. So you're dealing with other person. You're going to get kavod because all of a sudden it becomes a little more public. If you're in the privacy of your own home and you're fasting and you're davening, right? But once you're giving tzedakah, once you're in the public eye, once you're giving someone tochacha, now we're ready to someone else involved and they're going to think something of you because you did this. It's a whole difficult. You have to purify your motives. So that's why he makes it a separate category, purely because your hishtadlus, before you punt to Hashem, You know, football, punting? Before you punt it to Hashem and say, I have bitachon that I'll be successful, there's two major areas that you have to work on. One is purity of motives. This is, I want to, this is so hard. This is so hard. It sounds like, yeah, you know, it is so hard. Because Allah says in Shari Yichud HaMaisa that most things that people do have other motivations. They have motivations of what people will think of them, what school they'll get into, what shidduchim their children will do. Sometimes that's a good thing. As I said last week, sometimes, you know, you do things so that your children should have certain friends. So that's not called other motivations. You want them to have a good sviva. That's part of creating a good environment. But if you're doing it because of social standing, right, you want to have certain friends because of your social standing, or you want people to think of you a certain way because of that. You care what people think about you. So that's not good. So once you're dealing with other people, you have to say, uh-oh, got to check my motives. Got to purify my motives. Not to find praise, not to get a thank you. They have to give you a thank you, but your motive is not to get a thank you, not to be looked up to and praised and idolized and held of. To get a plaque or a thank you, right? One hand rubs the other, you do something for them, they'll do something for you. Not to be in a power play, to be in a position of power. That's number one. So that's in Chelek HaChamishi, that right away becomes a concern. That right away becomes a concern once you're dealing with other people. The Yiftach al Hashem. And then we go back to Bitachon. Bahafolas, you have Bitachon in Hashem that your attempts to do good, because that's all you can do is attempt, will be actualized. Bahafolas mashachoshav lasos mehem. After you've davened, remember everything, he's repeating parts of Chelek Dalet because that's still there. You have to daven to Hashem, just like you had a daven before. Now, he puts in another part, which is also very, very hard. And this is, maybe it's a chiddush of the Chodesh HaVavos. It's a constant theme in his Sefer. He says it many times. And it's very hard. You'll see in a second what it is and why it's so hard. And it's not even always true. You'll see what I mean in Mamash in a moment. It's hard. You have to always make judgment calls. But he, Chavis HaVavos holds that the greatest mitzvah and the greatest schar is for things you do privately that no one else knows about. Things you do anonymously. This is a yesod of the Chovas HaLovas. He's known for that, I think. And he says it countless times throughout the Sefer. The greatest, it's so hard, because even if you do it and no one knows about it, then you want to tell someone, hey, I did something that no one knows about. Right?
Rabbi Victor Miller says you should try and do one chesed a day without anybody knowing about it.
That's Chavis HaLovas.
What about telling someone you davened for them? You went to the
question. Wait, so we'll talk about all the exceptions, because many times you do good things publicly because it inspires others, mm-hmm. and you want people to see that such a thing is possible to do. So let's first learn the base, and then we'll talk about the exceptions. He says, "V'yishtadlo b'chaleila k'fi yecholto." Now, really, it's not. I don't think it's really a objectively speaking, that's what's important. Let me quickly explain what I mean. I think that's just a way of ensuring that your motives are pure. In other words, I don't think there's anything holy about doing things anonymously or privately. I think it's just a trick, so to speak. It's just, well, then you know for sure that your motives are pure, because no one knows about it except Hashem. So it's like a checkpoint. That's my opinion. That he doesn't mean it as something like esoterically special, that it's done in private, and like called Kfuda Bas Melech Pnima, is an idea that there's a value in the very aspect of being private. It doesn't have any reasons. There's a chashivas to being private, right? A woman's creation wasn't private. A woman's one of the qualities of a woman is privacy. Tzenua, tzenius doesn't mean just tzenius. Obviously, we all know that already. We're adults. It means privacy, quiet in the house. But that's a value in itself. Chavis Alonis is talking about it to everybody, obviously, and I don't think he means it as a value in and of itself. He means it as a checkpoint for purity of motives. So it's not really a second thing. The Yishtadol B'Cholelu and all of these things, he should try Kifi Yecholto. So once you're dealing with someone else, it's that much harder to keep it private. Right? But you have to try. That's part of doing the best you can do. Number five, Be'ikir. If someone is giving you a test and says, what is number five, area five, adding over number four? The truth is, he's only adding in number five over number four two inyone avoda, two things you have to do the best you can. That's part of number four, part of number four's binyan. Was to do the best you can, and then have bitachon in Hashem that it'll actualize, it'll happen. So number five introduces two things you have to do in order to do the best you can. One is to purify your motives, and one is to keep it private. To do the best you can, to keep it as private as you can, to keep it as tzinna as you can. That nobody should know about it, ideally, but you're dealing with another person. So that's why here it's a trick. You know, he didn't say it at number four, because you're doing something essentially private. Here, it's like it takes avoda, it takes work. You're doing something that's essentially public. You're right away dealing with one other person. So you have to try to do it anonymously, privately. Try, like we know, the greatest madrega of tzedakah, well, the greatest is to give someone a job. But, you know, certainly you get muschar, and it's greater to do it anonymously. He says, V'yishtadu b'cholele k'fi yecholto l'haster ma'asov mi she'en hatzorech m'chayev l'hodiyo. See, someone, there has to be what's called a need-to-know basis. When you do a good deed, so certainly, you know, you want to make a cake for a kiddush. So you're going to have to tell, like I said, you have to tell the person you're making the cake for, they should know the cake's coming. Part of the chesed is that they know people are baking for them, and they have one less cake to worry about, right? And right, it's going to fit the color scheme of the kiddush, whatever. So, but he's talking about to tell your neighbor, you know, I made my special strawberry shortcake for the kiddush, and you're boasting. So there's no need to know. Now, what about if that's your way of getting your neighbor to make a cake also? That's very common, and that's the rationale for all the people, and even the Gedolim sanction giving kavod. The Gedolim encourage plaques and kavod and announcements. Baruch Hashem, I want to say about the shul. I'm very, because I've learned Chavis Halvavos with the Olam, and it's happened so many times that people have done things anonymously. It's really, really very heartwarming, very, very nice. And I'd say around 50% of the time, even I don't know who it was. Sometimes they tell me, because I have to, there's a need to know there, but so many, really, it's very, very nice. Until 2 weeks ago, Baruch Hashem, it's really very, very nice, very, very nice. But sometimes, and it's a judgment call, and maybe you have to talk to me or someone else about weighing, it's a judgment call. People are inspired, people do learn from you, people see the art of the possible. Someone gets up early to learn, or we're talking to women, if you let your husband out to learn and you tell someone that you do, you know, so they see it, you know, it's possible, it's not the end of the world, you can do it, you can let them go and learn. So I don't have a magic formula for you ladies to tell you, okay, put it in the meter, and if it registers, you know, that if it registers this number, then you can do it, and if it registers that number, you can't do it. This is the kind of thing that comes with cheshbon ha-nefesh, that comes with contemplation. I think it helps that the Chovos HaLevavos, maybe it makes it worse, it makes it more confusing. I'm convinced Chovos HaLevavos doesn't mean it as an objective value, he just means it as a purity of motive, a litmus test. Like that'll be the ultimate litmus test. If you're ready to do it b'tzina that no one knows about it, that's it, you've got purity of motive. But it makes it, I don't know, you know, you have to make a cheshbon. It's true, you know, someone is collecting tzedakah, and the person that calls out and says he's giving $200, so someone else of his financial capabilities, see who, you know, so he gets inspired to do it. So you have to, make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. So you have to examine yourself. That's why we've said many times, the art of introspection is very, very important, especially for people who learn Chovos HaLevavos. So you always have to look at your lathe and see. But let's not worry about that right now. Let's worry about the other side, that people do things with ulterior motives, and they like the kavod, and they like to be thanked, and they like that people fawn over them, and they try to curry favor by them because they want to be the beneficiaries of their generosity, and they like that feeling, and they like people to be beholden to them. Chovos HaLevavos is dealing with the more common situation, and he says that's all not good. Well, you can't say it's not good. You know, b'toch shelo lishma bo lishma we help, but it's nowhere near an ideal. And it's not what we're looking for. It's not what Hashem's looking for. Hashem's looking for purity. We're talking about Chovos HaLevavos. Hashem's looking for purity of lev, for a motive. Your motive is to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's your motive. So you try to hide it. The yishtadlu b'cholei l'kfiyachotu l'haster ma'asov b'misha ein atzorech m'chayev lo deal, from whoever doesn't need to know. Hischar ha'osa b'seiser yosem and osa b'goli. And quite obviously, we're mature adults here. We know that if the Chovos HaLevavos says a sentence that you get more schar for doing something privately than publicly, he's not trying to lure you with the promise of more schar. He means it's more valuable, it's more pure. You get more schar because it's more motiveless. It's more tohar. It's more ratzon Hashem. It's more lev. It's more spiritual. It's more uplifting, it's more connecting to Hashem, it's more bringing Hashem into the picture. We do things because it's Ratzon Hashem. That's it. You can't run away from that. A Jew, a religious Jew, I mean, everybody is supposed to be religious. What does religious mean? Really, there's a bottom line of doing the Ratzon Hashem. It sounds sometimes a little cold, even in Ben Adam Lachaveiro, but so there the point is, as we've proven, that Hashem wants you to care about someone else. But even that, you know, sometimes it maybe bothers us that we would like you know, we're brought up in Western culture, we want caring about someone else to be a primary value. And it's never quite primary. It's always like, because Hashem wants us to care about someone else. Right? But that's like saying one and one is two. So it's only because Hashem wants it to be two. We can't imagine one and one being three. But a believing Jew that believes Hashem Echad, and only Hashem is objectively real, so you have to believe that Hashem could have created a world where 1 + 1 = 3. We just, like, we can't imagine it. Just like we can't imagine before there was man. We believe Hashem created time, but we'd get cross-eyed and we'd go crazy if we would try to conceive of not of there not being time. Because you say, well, so what happens? What happens the next second? What do you mean there's no time? What happens? I think time is the closest we come to Avodah Zarah. We can't imagine. You talk about Mukhrach HaMetzius, the Rambam describes Hashem. Hashem, by definition, has to exist. Nothing else has to exist. So if you would ask me, what do I have the most trouble imagining? What do I have the most trouble believing that it doesn't have to exist? I say time. I go crazy. I blank out. I get dizzy. I get cross-eyed. I can't imagine no time. So I think of time as a little mukhra chametzias chas v'shalom. I say chas v'shalom. You're not allowed to think of anything as mukhra chametzias. The Avodah Zarah, Hashem Echad. Only Hashem is mukhra chametzias. Hashem created time. Hashem created a world in which 1 + 1 = 2. I said, come on, Rabbi. 1 and 1. You only got 2. Well, yeah. No, Hashem made that system. Hashem made a world in which that's true. Hashem made a world where there's gravity. Hashem made a world where 1 and 1 = 2. Hashem made a world where He wants you to care about someone else. So it's, you know, it's a little subtle, but not that subtle. It's not an ultimate primary value. It's up there because it's in the Aseres Hadibros. It's been on the Machavero. It's an initial emanation of Hashem. He doesn't want you to give tzedakah. He wants you primarily to care about someone and thereby give tzedakah. But ultimately, it's Hashem's will. A Jew lives for nothing but Hashem's will, not even caring about someone else. Really, it has to be said. That's part of Hashem Echad. Everything is Hashem's will. Just like everything that exists is Hashem's will. So everything we do is Hashem's will. So we say, boy, am I happy Hashem wanted me to care about someone. If Hashem wanted me to kill everyone, I don't know if I can do it. But sometimes He does want you to kill everyone. Shaul HaMelech couldn't do it. See? Shaul HaMelech said, go kill Amalek, Shmuel said. And Shaul couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't bring himself to do it. He said on himself, he couldn't do it. He blamed the Am. He was scared of the Am. But the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says he couldn't bring himself to do it. So you always, you know, you can't, you know, tell, a Jew has to really, maybe we have to learn Shar HaYichud. That's the first Shar. That's like the heavy philosophy Shar. A Jew only exists for the world. I say a Jew because it's not true, a Jew. A Goy also. A non-Jew too. It's just right now the non-Jews don't know about it, so we have to teach them. But it's not true that a Jew, everybody has to live only to do the will of Hashem. Hashem doesn't demand things of a non-Jew. But the Jew, Hashem, demands more because He wants them to live on a higher spiritual plane. But everything, that's why I'm correcting myself. Everybody lives only to do the will of Hashem. How do we get into this? Because, the will of Hashem is that you should care about your fellow man. You have to. It's a sort of a dichotomy, but I think I'm explaining it well. It's not that subtle. You have to care about someone else. It's not that Hashem told you to give tzedakah. See, that's what we see in the Chedesh HaLodos. It's not that Hashem told you to be machnas orchid. give tzedakah, lend money, do chesed. Now, Hashem wants you to care about the other person, and thus do these things. But it's only because Hashem said so. If Hashem says kill everybody, you kill everybody. That's all. That's Hashem's will. Well, desire is a strong word, but that doesn't mean. That means Hashem determines our values. Hashem determines what's right and what's wrong, and what our values are, and what Rachmanus is, and what Achzorius is, and what kindness is. That's all. It all comes from Hashem. It all emanates from Hashem Echad. Okay. So. Umash yefshar lo. So smart. He said, then he says like this. Now I'm going to tell you something very important. He says, what you can't do betzina, what you can't keep private. So what's going to happen if you can't, if for whatever reason you can't do it privately, you can't keep it private. So what's the biggest danger now? You're going to do it publicly. So first of all, you're going to have other motivations. He says, so he's telling you how to deal with that. What you can't keep private, you have to remember the basic foundation of Shar HaBitachon, which is no one, and you have to repeat it like a mantra. No one can, you know what they say, like you get in front of the mirror every day, you say, in every way and every way, I'm going to get better and better. You ever hear that? You know? You have to get in front of a mirror every day and say, no one can hurt me. And no one can help me unless it's Hashem's will. See, once, that's what the Chodesh Halavah says now. If you can't keep it private, for whatever reason, it's not appropriate to, it's not possible to, there's a need to know basic to 1,000 people. 1,000 people have to know about it. So you better go, he says, and work on your internalizing. Because now you're going to be like, oh man, I got 1,000 people that now owe me a favor. Right? I got 1,000 people that are now beholden to me. Right? I got 1,000. He says, you better go. Or if you didn't do the mitzvah, you say, I got 1,000 people that are angry at me. I got 1,000 people that want to see me harmed. I got someone that's out to get me. I got someone that's out to get those who are dear to me. I got someone who's angry and wants to pay me back. Right? All the things that go on in everyday life. So the Lord says, once you can't keep something private and you go into the outside, then you just have to be mischazek. No one can hurt you and no one can help you unless it's Hashem's will. What you can't keep hidden, you remember what we're learning here in Shar HaBitachon. Help or damage from any creature, any human being, anybody in this world, only Hashem's will is that he should hurt you or help you. So, once, so says Nachamu, when you're dealing with interactive mitzvahs, mitzvahs that are interactive with people, so everything in number 4 applies, and there's 2 more things you have to remember in order to make sure you're doing your best. One is purity of motive, and the second, which we said is not really a second thing, it's really a test, litmus test of the first, is to do it as privately as possible, in order to ensure that your motives are pure. That's your best. That's, otherwise you're not doing your best. Everything else is like number 4, but you have to do your best. So you have to work on these 2 areas. You have to work on purifying your motives and work on doing it privately. Privately, though, means on a need-to-know basis. We added parenthetically, sometimes there are other values that would force us to go away from this path of the Chayvus Halbavus, if we want people to learn from us and be inspired by us and see that it's possible. Okay. Sometimes you need a psak to. I don't know if you always need a psak every instance, but history and how Gedolim and Poskim have conducted themselves and have been more and common practice is that we see that it's felt sometimes to veer from the path of the Chodesh Aldavos for a different value, to encourage other people, for example, to do something. No one, someone's going to tell me, someone from the shul is going to come and tell me, Rabbi, I decided I'm going to learn for an hour and a half every night. Well, I don't want people to see, I'm going to stay home and learn. So I'm going to tell them, usher, come to shul. If people see that you're learning, then they'll want to do the same. They'll see it's possible to do the same. You can sit in your home, you're not doing anything for anybody else, you're just doing something for yourself. Okay? So you said, But that's what Chodesh Halvodah says, purity of motive and keep it as private on a need-to-know basis only. Once you go beyond need-to-know, then you better have to worry that you're going to lose your innocence. And so you have to work on solidifying. No one can hurt me and no one can help me unless it's Hashem's will. Kiyam b'shus habor yitzhala. V'imzimen Hashem al yodo tova, and if Hashem allowed it to happen, the mitzvah was actualized, it came about to fruition, you thank Hashem. This is the same as number four. You thank Hashem. You said, well, you thank Hashem. You thank you, Hashem, that you were the instrument, that you allowed me to be the instrument for this good thing happening. The building is built, the usher gives money, and the building is built. There's a special hakaras hatov to Hashem that it happened. It happened. The building went up. Yachsho belibo, you have to be so thankful to Hashem. Shitova olov me'es Hashem. Ta chesed sha'asa imo bo. Hashem did a chesed with you, that he allowed you to be the instrument of this good thing happening. And v'al yisam chehu ma shemeshabchim also b'nei adam aleha. When you're sitting on the dais and people are praising you and saying, giving you honor and praising you, and you're sitting on the dais, you know, don't be happy. Don't quell about yourself. No good. What should you do? You know what the Chayyus Halavah says in a different place? He doesn't say it here. He says, so what should you do? You know, people are praising you. You gave $1 million. The building went up. You did a good deed. It doesn't have to be $1 million. Someone runs a chesed committee and they're good. So people say, wow, you're so good. So what are you supposed to think to yourself? The Chayyus Halavah doesn't want you to... I don't know. This is really a whole discussion. It's not... He wants you to be satisfied. He doesn't want you to be happy at the praise, at the honor. The different lakuda. He has nothing against a person being satisfied at a job well done. Satisfaction is a shleimus. You know, that's not simcha. That's not. Don't be happy that they're praising you, he says. So he says in another place, he gives a very good eitzah, a funny eitzah, but. He says, you know what you should do when they're sitting on the dais and they're praising you? He says, you should think about all the things you do wrong that they don't know about. And you say to yourself, boy, if they only knew, they would change their tune very, very quickly. If they would know what I do, if they would know what I did, if they would know what I do, just think about all the things you do and say, maybe I should stand up and tell them all these things and they'll stop praising me. Just think that. And realize that their praise is, boy, if they knew, they would be quiet very quickly. They wouldn't stand there praising me. That's what the person should think. He says that in another place. He says that in Shari Yichel
HaMaisa. Like
a private joke. Yeah, yeah. Says kibud nachmasa. So like if you're being praised and you're on the dais and people see you smiling and they think you're violating the Chayim Salvavus, it could be you're keeping the Chayim Salvavus. You're thinking about what you did last night, and you're laughing at everybody for praising you. You shouldn't desire the kavod, Sometimes you have to take it. Chazal Ovos himself is recognizing that reality, but you shouldn't want it. And then you get gaiva, and then you'll lose everything. You'll lose your motivation, you'll lose your purity of motive, you'll lose your doing it l'shem Hashem, and you'll get all messed up. So you got to be so careful once it's public, once it's beyond need to know. You just have to be so, so careful not to, like, lose it all, because you don't guard yourself against all the wrong things. The Yovanus Matiros of the Chafanos of the Hashem, the Afsid Masov, he'll lose his schar. Lose the Yimat Gemulo. He'll get less schar, because he'll lose that purity. He's going to elaborate much more in Shar Yichud HaMaisa. He elaborates on this Nakuda much, much more. Okay, we'll stop here. And as I said, the next two Sundays are off. I'm going to be in America. I'm sorry. But, now I'm more happy that we learned the two Sundays of Hanukkah. Okay.